Beacon League. What is going on? I'm your host, Jordan Green, back at you with another episode, episode 5. Man, these things are rolling in so quickly. We're having a great time doing it. It's week 1. We're everything we've been waiting for, everything we prepared for, it's been come down to this very moment. So on this episode, we're going to have a draft recap, kind of go over some of the takeaways from every team. We're going to go over also the outcome of a lot of the week 1 standings. We have City Liddy on the line.
Here, what's good, Sid?
We got Puma Drew.
What's poppin', people?
And we also have week 1's first alpha of the week, Mr. Kendall Jones himself.
Yo, what's good? Yeah, Jonesy here.
All right, so let's spin this intro. Let's get straight into it. Yo, how's everybody doing, yo?
Doing good, man. Week 1, feeling good.
Yeah, I know you good.
I'm sad.
Say, why you sad, Sid?
Man, my boy Drew is supposed to be my partner. And beat me.
What'd he do, baby?
Drewski.
Drew, why you do it to him like that, yo?
I don't know, bro. It's week 1. I'm about to lose this week, probably. Watch. That's how fantasy works.
Bro, that's exactly how I feel. Yo, I saw a projected. I'm playing Perry. Perry's projected 195, bro.
Wow.
Wow. He put a ring on that. He projected
200 points. Yo, take it easy on me. So, a little draft recap. We had the draft a couple weeks ago. Went really good. Probably one of our most smoothest in-person drafts that we've had so far. Anybody got any takeaways from any team? Anything that they saw that was impressive? Anything that they saw that surprised them? Anything?
Yeah, I was... Actually, no, that didn't surprise me, but I thought Kango was going to do something like crazy with his picks.
Mm.
Like, he had the... Like, I thought he had this, like, elaborate plan, and... He didn't really do nothing with it. I think he took Baker Mayfield and Tom Brady. I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's making trades already, like in the actual league.
So yeah, there.
He's kind of, he's all over the place still, but, you know, he didn't do too bad, I guess.
Yeah. Anything from you, Sid?
I liked Enley's draft, but I really thought it was a risque draft. He kind of proven my point. I mean, he got Larry Fitz. You know, I love Larry Fitz.
Yeah,
he's a volume god. But you know, I didn't know how he's gonna be with the rookie, Robbie Anderson. We don't know what this man is gonna do. I mean, if he's not producing on the field, he's usually talking blasphemy to someone's wife or police. Sony Michel was a little. I like Sony Michel a lot, actually, but I just don't really trust a lot of New England's offense, and yeah. That's aside from the injury. We're not even going to talk about AB right this second. And then Levy seemed to pay dividends for him, so.
Yeah.
I thought I liked Enley's draft. I just really thought he took a really misfit risky draft.
Yeah, high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything from you, Kendall? Any takeaways?
Mark O shocked me. I didn't think he would take Mahomes so early. Mm. But even after that, he went and got Rodgers early too in round 3.
Yeah.
So I think he really, I don't know, like, I can't say it was bad on his part. Week 1 was kind of rough for him, but yeah. I just didn't think he would get two QBs back to back like that. I feel like he probably could have gotten like a running back or another receiver earlier instead of getting at least at Rodgers, he could have let fall a little bit. I don't think anybody was really going to try to get him within round of four or five. He could have went back to him.
No, I totally agree. That was, I'm not going to say that he reached for his picks, But I do think that he could have maybe maximized a little bit more. Maybe it's like go for Rodgers in the fourth. And, right. Because the problem is his current problem that he has right now, where he drafted these guys so early and that made your pool of the players that you were choosing from even smaller. And his number one pick was Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek's out now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can see where that can be concerning. But Mark's a great player. He always is. So I'm sure he's going to be able to bounce back fine. Me, I was really, really impressed with Perry's draft. It seems like Perry went into the lab and he got tired of all the jokes, got tired of everything, and said he's going to come back and make some moves. He did take the L this week, but his team is a lot more impressive than what they did week one. Jared Goff, OBJ, T.Y. Hilton, DJ Moore, like that's solid. Kamara, Derrick Henry, and Kelsey, like he's kind of stacked, and he fell into a great situation with getting Sammy Watkins. So he's got kind of a powerhouse team at this point. So it's really good. I think overall, there was no clear powerhouses of anyone who's like at the very top. And I think the only person that's at the very bottom is going to be Chris. And that's just because homeboy didn't want to show up to the draft again.
Facts.
So that's on him. But yeah, so folks, that's pretty much the draft. Not anything too crazy. Like we said, Kango, he turned a lot of his picks into mid-round running backs, a couple mid-round receivers, and then he turned it into Baker Mayfield. And who was his other?
Tom Brady.
Right, and you just, right. So that's really all the takeaways that we have from the draft. Now, let's get into the fun. Week one, holy cow, nothing happened the way that it was supposed to.
Not at all.
Absolutely nothing. Is from a fantasy perspective, there were a lot of letdowns. I know on my part, I was really disappointed with Green Bay's offense. I had Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and they both underperformed massively. So that was tough. There's a bunch of other stuff, but what we want to talk about is we don't want to talk too much about the players themselves and their fantasy impact. I want to talk more about the managers within our league. Some of the week one winners, anyone got anyone who they were impressed by their squad and how they performed this week one?
For me, it had to be the Honey Badgers team.
Absolutely.
The fact that not only did he not have a second quarterback, but his flex only scored below 10, and he was still able to, he still had a 30-point win over Mark Norfrio. Yeah. I liked his, Lamar Jackson obviously led the pack with that amazing win in Miami with 45 points. Other than that, he just had everyone on his team really contributed to his win. I liked his, and he had over 60 points on the bench. Tyrell Williams had over 20 points, and Deshaun Jackson had 37 points. So I definitely impressed with Tyler, not only his draft, but his starting lineup. Because, you know, week one's always one of the first couple weeks are always the hardest to line your team up because you don't exactly know who's going to do what.
Yeah.
I was impressed by that, especially for him. You know, everyone was worried about him because he forgot to draft the second quarterback, which I thought was crazy. But he came up with the dub. I'm impressed with the trade Kendall made that he picked up off of waivers and traded him. So, I mean,
got him for free.
For the free. So,
I was working that today.
that was really good. I'm really proud of Tyler. That was a really good setup for him.
Just got to remind him that he has to draft not only a QB, but homeboy also didn't draft a defensive player or a kicker.
He said, yo, I can pick those up. Like,
My man had 90 receivers and 89 running backs.
Yo, I can't use all of these.
Kendall, you got any week one winners besides yourself, obviously?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. But I think two for me, definitely Puma. I feel like Drew showed a better draft this year than his last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I feel like his starters are really strong with Matt Ryan and Dak Prescott. I feel like the position he got those QBs in and the points they're going to give him is just crazy. And his lineup, Julio Jones, Juju, Dalvin Cook, like those are all like powerhouse dudes that can give 30 every week. So I feel like he's going to be one of the main teams to look out for. And then Enley too. I feel like Enley's starters are like just solid. Drew Brees and Carson Wentz. Then he's got Fitzgerald, who I feel like is going to have a strong year.
Yeah.
I feel like Kyler Murray is going to just trust Larry Fitzgerald and just throw the ball to him so much because, you know, who's not going to trust Larry Fitzgerald? He doesn't drop the ball.
Right.
Heavy Sony when he comes back. You know, I feel like his starters are just really strong. So those two are probably the two guys that I'm looking out for right now.
Dope. Trusky. Yes. What you got for me?
All right, so Mark squeaked out with a win. Mark
Yeah.
Yeah, like by literally 2 points. Yeah. Two and some change.
Heartbreaker.
Over the wedding boy. But like I like his team's not bad. I just feel like it's really gonna be completely like carried by McCaffrey and Chris Carson. Because he has hitters like Russell Wilson and Zach Ertz are like they're obviously really good picks for him, especially like Zach Ertz is a top three tight end. I just don't know if those players are going to be able to catch because I mean he has Brandon Cooks. Allen Robinson is not going to be putting up, in my opinion, like top 25 receiver numbers this year. And he's got Mike Williams, who didn't give him much. Like I don't know, his team. I don't feel like his team's deep enough, but he squeaked out this win. So maybe if he makes some moves or whatever, or some of those guys start popping off. But it was a good win for him, and he does have Hardman on the bench for KC, which his stock kind of just went up if Tyreek Hill is going to be out.
Yeah.
So Marcus, he's got a solid team, and he did get that good week one win. But I'm a little nervous for his team, and so at some spots and positions.
Yeah, I agree. Mark does have a really good team. I actually I had the premium service with Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard app, and they do projections for an entire season outlook. And at this current moment, they have Mark going back to back.
What?
Really?
Yes, they say that they got Mark going back to back. Me coming in number 2, Drew coming in number 3, Honey Badger coming at 4. But this all changes, you know, week to week based off of injuries and, you know, some people play above their heads. But so I just thought that was interesting. If the season was to end today, Mark would be our winner again. But we all got something to say about that.
Facts. Oh, yeah.
For me,
he'll hear this one eventually.
Yeah, exactly. For me this week, my winner was a loser, and that's my boy Sid, yo. Yo, Sid's team, even though you took the L, I said it from the jump, the game between Drew and Sid was going to be game of the week because it was two powerhouses, and at the end of the day, somebody had to lose. Unfortunately, it was my boy Sid, but Sid's got a great team underneath him. Big Ben, D-Hop, and Michael Evans. And kind of rounded off his receivers with Stephon Diggs in a trade that he pulled off today from our boy Kango. And then he's got two running backs who could become something more of a staple as of this season. Kerryon Johnson can definitely put his foot in the dirt and solidify himself as the RB1. He is the RB1 right now, but he's had talks of, he even said that he's not a 3-down back. He definitely is. I think he just needs to get past that. And then Austin Eckler, he's in a great position with Melvin Gordon being out. Who even knows if Melvin Gordon plays when he comes back? So he's in a great position. And this, Sid said it from the jump, his sleeper pick, that boy Darren Waller, I didn't know who the heck he was talking about.
That boy, with him, bro.
That boy's nice.
Yeah, he is.
I really like Sid's squad. So that's those. I think those are all really good takes from all of our winners this week. So now we talked about our winners. Who should be worried right now? It's early. It's week one. Who should be a little bit nervous right now? Drewski, let's start with you.
Oh, who should be worried? I think Banger should be a little worried.
Yeah.
Now here's why. Obviously Zeke is gonna continue to be Zeke, but he's got Kyler Murray on his bench,
mm-hmm.
and has two other QBs, Cam Newton and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, out of those three, I don't really see a whole bunch of consistency out of the QB position.
Yeah.
And then, depending on what is going on with the Patriots, I'm not too sure how consistent Edelman can be. He's going to get his receptions, but if Brown stays, you know, on the field and they got Josh Gordon on the other edge, I don't know how much, you know, touchdown numbers or deep balls Edelman's going to be looking at. And then Jared Cook at tight end. I don't know. I just don't really see New Orleans using, like, the tight end position. I feel like the only time Breeze has really gone to a tight end consistently is when he had Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Graham's, like, basically not even a tight end. He's just a huge receiver, in my opinion.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. I feel like Jared Cook's not going to get the usage at what he's being drafted at. And then Joe Mixon, he has so much talent, but that offensive line and that team is just awful. I feel like he doesn't have the raw talent. I think of like a Saquon Barkley, where like whatever team you put him on, it doesn't matter. He's going to produce.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs Joe Mixon's one of those like in between the tackles, like cut around people, use blocks, and since he just doesn't have that type of team, so. I'm a little to be honest with you, he put up 119 points and got Baldy of the week. So I'm a little nervous.
Baldy.
I'm a little nervous for him going into the rest of the season.
Gotcha. Nice. Sid, what's up, bro?
I am worried about Hogan's Heroes.
Ooh.
Mark Onofrio. Here's why. I love his first pick of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I wouldn't have done it because I don't believe in quarterbacks in the first round. That's just me. But it was ballsy and ended up working out week one for him, which is awesome. But outside of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, his team is a little bit more on the pedestrian side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lost Tyreek Hill, which is a huge hit for his team.
Mm-hmm.
Tevin Coleman is out. His backup quarterback is Jacoby Brissett. We don't know what Philip Lindsay's usage is going to be this year. And from last night, it looks like the Broncos are going to be down a lot. And they're going to have a committee. For whatever reason, they like Freeman just as much as they like Lindsay, no matter who produces. I like James White a lot. I mean, I feel like that's probably his best back. It's just that the Patriots offense, you know, Bill Belichick doesn't care about fantasy, or he don't care how he gets the points. He'll let James White go all the way down the field and let Devlin get a 1 yard touchdown. So I'm worried about his running backs, and his receiving core is probably the most, the scariest part of his team for me. Outside of Tyreek Hill, we got Curtis Samuel, number two receiver on, the Panthers. I don't know how Cam's going to look this year. I would be very afraid. Calvin Ridley, I think he'll do pretty good. Christian Kirk, I feel like he's going to have up and down weeks. I don't see, outside of Mahomes, I don't really see a lot of consistency on his board or his bench.
Right.
I mean, his bench is a lot scarier than his starters. And Aaron Rodgers, I love Aaron Rodgers, and I took him very early last year. But like I told you, Jordan, I think Aaron Rodgers is turning more into a winning quarterback instead of a fantasy quarterback. Yeah. He's going to win games. He'll have fourth quarter drives. But those 40-point games that we were used to back in like 2015, 2016, I think those are over.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, dope. Kendall, what's up, bro?
It's Kangol for me, and I feel like low-key everybody felt that just before the draft even came. He didn't have a pick till the third round. Everybody's like, what are you doing? You're trading for 2025 picks, bro. We're not even thinking about that. And, like, I love Kangol more than the next guy, but just looking at his team, it just goes to prove, like, don't give up a first-round pick not to get one. You can't do that. It's not going to work out in your favor.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have any statement players. Mark Ingram is probably his only standout player if we're not talking about, you know, quarterbacks at this point. Everybody's going to have a decent quarterback. Mm-hmm. His number one receiver is Dede Westbrook. Now, we all know how Jacksonville can score 40 points and then score zero for the next 3 weeks. So, like, I feel like he doesn't really have anybody he can trust to give him a solid 12-plus points at any position besides Mark Ingram. Right. He has Josh Gordon, but like Sid just said, the Patriots will use anybody they need to win. Facts. You can't trust Josh Gordon to go out and put up huge numbers every night. Ross, I like a lot, but it's just another, you know, it's the Bengals. I feel like they're another on and off team. You can't really trust anybody up there. Breida, I did like a lot, but all right, like, I just don't see any consistent players that he picked, and I feel like he kind of screwed himself over with just doing a little too much, unfortunately, but I don't know, his schedule even. Like, if you look at his schedule, he's playing Sid this week. I don't see that going good for him. Week 3, he's playing Perry. Perry's averaging or projecting the most points, like, every week out of everyone.
Yeah,
it's going to be a hard team to beat. Week 5, he's playing Mark. Like, just about everyone is going to project at least 50 points more than him. Like, all of his players have to go off. So I just feel like Kangol didn't have the best draft because he traded everything he loves and owns and care. So, sorry, Kangol, but you might get bald. Yeah. I want Chris to get him, but it might be Kangol. Yo.
No, I agree. That was Kangol's mine also. My thing, you hit all the same points that I'm concerned about. Is there's no consistency. And anyone who spoke with me and asked me about my feelings about all the trades he did, I said the same thing from the jump. You get consistency out of your first 4 picks. You get guys that have high floors. You know, like, for example, I went double running back in my first. I got James Conner and Nick Chubb. They had probably one of the worst performances they're going to have all season, and they both still got me 10 to 11 points. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's their bad game, then you can work with that. A lot of Kangol's players, that was what they were hitting. That was like that's kind of their ceiling. That's what they're going to be. So that's my concern. My concern also is the way he's kind of operating as a manager altogether. He did that trade with me for the first rounders, and ever since then, it almost has seemed like he's been in panic mode and has been constantly trying to right the ship and get back on track and make it so that way he puts himself in a favorable position. And it's now it's even going into the league where he's trading. He did 2 trades on a Tuesday after week 1. Like, you can't take anything you can't take anything at face value after week 1. You just can't, because you don't know what anything's going to look like. So that's my concern. If he listens to this, like, chill out, take a chill pill, try to build your roster, but find guys you can trust in week to week. That's good. So that's going to conclude our week 1 recap. So now we're going to get into Kendall. We want to talk to you, bro.
Talk to me.
So for all the listeners who might not know, this is the Kendall that we talked about that received the first annual Baldy. The shame of shames. It was bad. But you know what? Kendall, I got the utmost respect for you because you set the bar. Ain't nobody can run from this Baldy now.
Facts.
I respect it. Since then, year 2, Kendall's team turned around and became one of the top four powerhouses within the league. And was unfortunately, his playoff run was cut short just due to a extremely unusual bad week. In my opinion, Kendall should have been in that championship game fighting for the ring. But what I'm impressed at is even in year three, Kendall's picked up and he picked up right where he left off and has continued to make some changes. And his team's really progressed since then. So what I want to know first, what are your thoughts on your particular draft? What was your game plan going in? What did you want to target? Did you want to try anything different from the year before? What was your game plan?
To be honest, my game plan was to get Patrick Mahomes round one, but I got screwed up. So that really threw me. That threw me all off because I wanted to go with the super flex. I wanted to go QB, running back, wide receiver, then try to run back to a running back. But like I said, that didn't go as planned. So I kind of panicked a little bit, and I went with David Johnson for my first round pick just because I felt coming back around I wouldn't get a top tier running back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like I panicked my second pick too and got Deshaun Watson because I was the number nine pick, and I just felt like the way that wraps around being almost in the middle of that draft towards the end, it takes so long to get back to me. I was like, I'm not going to get a good running back, not going to get a good QB. So I try to go for the top guys out at that point when I had the chance right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my thought process after not getting Mahomes. So I was like, I got to get Deshaun Watson while he's still available. So I feel like it may have been a little bit early, but I think it's going to work out for me in the long run just because, you know, you saw last night, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got weapons to throw deep balls to. Mm-hmm. He's going to put up a lot of touchdowns, a lot of running, you know, a lot of yardage. So I feel like even though it was a risk, I feel like it's going to help out just because we got this super flex going.
No, for sure. It's good.
But yeah, as far as a game plan, like, it, from year to year, it changes based on what pick you have. Obviously, last year I had the number one pick, so it's easily I'm going to get the top running back projection for that year.
Yep.
But like I said, with the nine pick, you kind of just got to look at, all right, what numbers am I picking? I got the 9th, 16, 33. If I wait too long on one position, I'm going to get bottom of the barrel dudes. It's not going to be an even pick for me. So I kind of just try to spread the love out this year and not pick too many back-to-backs.
Yep.
Like I went a running back, QB, wide receiver, then went back to a running back.
Nice.
So I didn't want to do like too many running backs, because then I won't have a QB, I won't have a tight end, I won't have a receiver. So
yeah,
kind of just try to spread the love out so I have an even team, to be honest.
Nice. Dope. Yeah, it definitely paid dividends because, I mean, week one, you're sitting here talking to us. So obviously your draft couldn't have been too bad. But no, you're good. When one thing that I like and I always try to shoot for is you want to get good players on winning teams because mm-hmm. good players on winning teams are always going to produce. And you did that. You got a lot of good guys on teams that are most likely going to be playoff contenders. So now let's move forward a week. Draft happened. We are now getting ready and prepared for week one, Thursday night. What was your thoughts? Did you have any decisions that you had to make of starting someone over another? Your super flex, did you have any decisions to make going into week one?
I bounced around Latavius Murray and who was it? Who did I run as my flex? Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay. Yeah.
I bounced around those two for a little bit. The only reason I ended week one, I always play whoever my top projected players are
mm-hmm.
just to see like, all right, what is it looking like? They're projected to do this. Is that going to happen week one? And then I base the rest of my season off that, like just straight matchups. What team are they playing? What defense are they playing? So that's kind of like, that's every year for me. Week one, whoever's projecting the most, I'm going to start them.
Yep.
See if they can do what they're supposed to do or more. And then I go from there for the rest of the season. So that's basically what I did. And that's also too, like why I took Latavius Murray out, just because Sanders was projecting like two more points than him and he ended up getting like a late touchdown and had like 19.6 points for me. So it ended up working out in my favor, but probably next week I'll switch it up a little bit because I think we got a tough matchup.
Nice. Cool. Good stuff. Yeah. So now, like I said before, you went from Baldy to most improved player of the 2018 season, and you picked right up where you left off in 2019 season. So it would seem that even though you got the Baldy and then next year you got the number one pick, it seems like the number one pick wasn't the reason why you had your success. It seems like you made changes, and you, what were those changes that you had to make to go from Baldy to most improved player?
I think just studying players and watching games more. That first year we did it, I think I was too focused on having the draft since it was here on Belden, you know? So I was like, there's a lot of other things going on, the preparation, it's a lot. And then, like, I was not prepared for the live draft either with the board and everything. Like, I've never done anything like that. All the drafts I've ever done was online. So I'm like, dang, I got to be on it. I didn't have a list on me or nothing, so... And I fell asleep because I was beat. Like, I was doomed from the jump. So yeah. I think that next year I really I had a whole bunch of lists with me, went through players that I was targeting, who I would get if they got picked, and kind of just went through that same process this year. I had a good idea of who I wanted. I found out, you know, what you have to do. Like you guys always say, you need a balanced team. You need guys that are gonna produce consistently for you.
Mm-hmm.
We all watch enough football to know what players do what teams are stacked, and like that's why I didn't go for anybody on the Browns. There's way too many weapons up there. Just OBJ is a top three receiver or top five receiver, but I'm not going to get him because he's next to another top 15 player with another running back. So it's like just little stuff like that you got to think it through, and like, is it really worth it? Even though he's the best in real life, is he going to be the best for you in fantasy? So that's how I judge all my picks.
No, it's good, man. It's obviously played huge dividends for you because you've kind of cemented yourself as a powerhouse player within the Beacon League. So I'm happy, you know, that we were able to have you on for our first Alpha interview. Because it's very fitting, man. Appreciate it. So just to wrap up the episode, we want to take a look into week two. I'm sure we all have taken a look at our own personal matchups. But just a quick look, just for the listeners. So we have, Team Perry versus myself. We have Team Sid versus Team Kango. We have, Team Mark O versus Team Drew. Team Enley versus Team Mark Axelon, Battle of the Haitians. We have, Team, what's his name? Chris. Couldn't remember his name. Now that he actually changed his name. We have Team Chris versus Team Kendall and Team Brandon versus Team Tyler. Any of these matchups, anyone looking forward to specifically, Sid?
Yeah. I'm excited to see, once again, I want to see the Honey Badgers versus Brandon's team. I want to see if Brandon's going to step up. Cam had a really bad game. I want to see what he does on Thursday Night Football. I really hate starting quarterbacks on Thursday Night Football. I don't know, it's something I don't personally like for whatever reason, but
yeah,
it usually hit or miss. So that's going to be a great game to watch. And I'm also excited to see if Tyler's team, is it for real, or was it, you know, was it just a great week? I want to see Lamar Jackson versus a real defense. So I'm excited for that game.
Yeah. Drew, what you got?
I'm actually excited for the Battle of the Haitians. Because Breeze and Wilson, obviously two really good quarterbacks. But what's his name? Enley's receivers are garbage. And after week one, Mark's don't look that hot either. So, and they both got a couple good running backs. So I'm just ready to see all see the battle of the running backs of the rest of the teams. Oh, actually, no, they got two good tight ends too, Kittle versus Ertz.
Oh, that's good. Like, two top three.
Yeah, but I just want to see them. Well, predominantly, Mark just talked trash the whole week. And that should be fun to watch.
Dope. Alpha, what you got?
You versus Perry, I think, is going to be probably one of the closer games this week. I don't like your projections. I think they're way off, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Perry's projections are quite high, too. But I feel like you both have just solid teams all around between running backs, receivers, QBs. I feel like you guys are pretty much around the same level. So I think the players that they have on his team projecting like 20 plus, like Kamara's projecting 21, but they're playing the Rams. So that's going to be a tough 21 if he gets that.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins went off last week, so I think that's just going to draw so much attention to him. He could have another big week just because who else is going to throw it to, him and Kelsey? But I don't know, like, what are really the odds of people going off like that and them not throwing doubles their way, not throwing zones on that side? It's just going to be tough. So I feel like that game, even though projections are showing you losing by 30, I'm not buying that right now.
Yeah, that was, I actually chose my matchup also, and not because it's my matchup, but mainly because I've been super interested in Perry and his team from the very beginning, before he even drafted. So to see his team be such a projection monster, I just want to see if his team's for real. I want to see if this is just, you know, way too early projections, if they're going to come back down to earth. So that's good. Now, I wouldn't say I'm interested in the matchup. I'm interested in see what Perry's team itself is going to do. But yeah, all right, that's it. Well, Beacon League, that wraps up another hot and fresh, steamy, gorgeous episode.
I like that.
Any closing comments, any closing concerns, anything from anybody?
Nah, bro, I'm just excited, bro. Week one is in the books. We got a whole bunch of content. You guys, how do you guys like the Baldy and Alpha?
Dude, I love that.
I love it. I love it.
Great. Coming every week, I'm going to try to post every trade. Like, I got to do the two Kango ones that just dropped off. I'll put those on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking?
Okay.
No, go. You finished, my bad.
Oh, no, that's all good. I said I'm going to put as much content up as possible just to keep everybody in the loop. Because some people, like Ty Little on Facebook, and then I'm sure somebody don't look at the Instagram page, so we'll just keep the content rolling.
Keep throwing it out there, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Now, I was going to say, since I forgot the I Suck at Fantasy Football t-shirt, no, <the draft, laughs> we should make whoever get Baldy wear it to the barbershop. And somebody do it.
I like that. All right. Well,
institute that.
You heard it here first. That's the new rule for the Baldy.
Gotta wear it to the shop.
Oof, that hurts. I gotta make sure I stay clear of that. But I just want to make sure I give a big shout out to my boy Drew, being our social media manager. Bro, you do a lot of work behind the scenes that you don't get enough thank you for. So you do a lot for this league, bro. And
we love you, Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
Thanks,
thanks for hosting this year too, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And maybe I'll get you a bottle of Ace of Spades or something to say thanks.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Jonesy has lifted it.
All right, Beacon League. I've been your host, Jordan Green, Sid Dawkins.
Yes, sir.
Drew Pettiford.
Yo.
And Alpha of the Week, Kendall Jones.
You heard me.
Thanks for listening. We'll be seeing y'all next week.
Yes, sir.